It's time for a quickie.
Podcast One presents The Lady Gang, the Hollywood Girl Posse, with Lady Gang Quickie. Here's Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Let's make this quick.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Lady Gang Quickie. I am Becca here with Jack and Kelty.
Happy Thursday.
What?
I don't have as big of a closet in this house as I did in the old house, and I just had to get rid of so much Lady Gang merch.
What?
You know, I need to do that because there are some sweatshirts that I don't love, but I just keep them because they're Lady Gang, and I'm like, I have like nostalgia to it.
Yeah.
I got it. My closet is non-existent and it's half full with Lady Gang merch. So,
I mean, I have like 6 drawers of Lady Gang merch.
Yeah, same.
One it's of everything.
I donated a lot of it because it's still in really good shape. Like a lot of it I wore once. Yeah. But there's one piece of merchandise that I have no idea what the fuck to do with it.
What is it?
It is the sweatshirt with our faces on it as cherubs.
I got rid of that one.
But did you donate it?
I don't know what I did.
I love that sweatshirt. It's so soft.
I know, but I don't know an appropriate time to wear a sweatshirt with my own face on it.
It was an Anytime. Iconic sweatshirt. And to be honest, we didn't sell as many as I thought that we were going to. I loved that. One of my best creations, I think.
God, it was a good one.
I loved it too. All right. So we're in the holiday season, and this is a PSA episode that the holidays can be very difficult because you have to be around your families and friends and coworkers outside of work for holiday parties. And there's like a lot of pressure on perfection and like really doing it. And, you know, we love a boundary. And one topic that has come up a lot this year that I thought would be a perfect end of the year kind of conversation is this idea of tough love. Mm. And so we're doing like a little tough love lesson, you know, mini episode today. So there's this whole idea of like, well, tough love is defined as the act of treating a person sternly or harshly with the intent to help them in the long run. The opposite of this is like coddling, babying, like all that stuff. And so it's like, you know, the feeling of, hey, get ready, I'm about to be a jerk. And I have grown up on tough love, so I feel like I'm really good at receiving tough love. But...
You're the best.
You literally are the poster child of receiving tough love.
But I, there's a bunch of things I want to talk about. But we asked everyone in the Facebook group, like, can you give me an example of when tough love or like things that have happened to in your life that had to do with tough love and how you dealt with it? And so I'm going to start there to kick off the conversation. So. Okay. The first one said, you might be the sweetest, here's a tough love I love. You might be the sweetest peach on the tree, but some people just don't like peaches. Get over it. Stop wasting your life trying to make someone like or appreciate you when they just don't.
Ooh. Get over it. I like that part of it.
Get over it.
She goes, this other girl, this one's really good. She wrote, my boss at the time, the HR director called me into her office. I clearly wasn't in the game. I had just lost my grandpa. She said I needed to get help or she would be forced to let me go. I got suspended instead and ended up heading to therapy and medication. It did help and I was able to clear my head. I came back stronger and better, although it was very tough to take. Mm. Crazy, right? Okay, there's one more. I had just lost my stepmom. I lost my birth mom to cancer when I was 4, but my stepmom was 100% my mom and best friend. And my husband lost his job, and I had been dealing with crippling anxiety, panic attacks, and couldn't drive myself anywhere for a few years at this point for the fear I would harm myself. I was in a very low place. My dad, instead of lending us the money that we needed, we had savings, but our monthly income was almost non-existent, gave me the push to get back into the workforce. I was absolutely terrified. I set myself up an interview and I didn't know how I was going to drive myself to it. I didn't even know how I'd be able to work day to day with all that I was struggling with. I didn't know how I'd be able to present myself as someone who is far more capable, my old self, someone I barely knew anymore. Then it was at the time I landed the job. I felt like by some miracle, I was able to meet all my job needs with no problem. And little by little, the more I pushed myself to do it, I continued to gain the confidence that I'd lost for so many years. Driving became easier and easier. My social skills came back. And within a month, I was promoted to management. I know I wouldn't be who I am and where I am without that push from my dad. If he had just given me the money I needed and let me out easily, I wouldn't have been able to be an amazing mom to my son and be a more confident me. It was so hard at first, but I always say that job gave me my life back.
Ooh, that's great. Have you guys ever received tough love that has changed the trajectory or something important in your life?
Kelty, you've received all the tough love.
Well, this is interesting. So I was thinking about this with Becca. You now have a son. And so it's like, how much do you tough love and how much do you coddle? And they found this study, a study found that children's upbringing had a profound effect on social skills later in life. The children with tough love parents were twice as likely to develop empathy, resilience in the face of difficulty, willpower, and control over their emotions. So it actually is really good for kids to have tough love.
I think you have to, because it's like your introduction to feedback that's not positive. So it's like if you are coddled by your parents your whole life and then you go out into the world and you receive feedback that's not great in a way that's not perfect, then you crumble into a million pieces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand that. I mean, there's definitely a delicate balance. And I think I'm trying to figure out what that is too, like as a parent. And I don't care what anybody says. I think that parents of boys struggle the most with with that balance, I guess, if you will, because I think in the past boys have been raised in a certain way of being tough, get the fuck over it, be better, be stronger, be whatever. I mean, girls have that too, but we're able to be softer with girls, I think. And
yeah,
you don't worry that girls are going to go out into the world and like not be able to stick up for themselves, even though like we probably should have worried about that a little more. So it's like the tough love is hard because you also don't want to break anybody's spirit. So I don't want to break my kid's spirit, but I also want him to be tough. I want him to be resilient in the world, and I want him to hear bad things about himself, not bad things, but things he can improve upon and not crumble into a million pieces. But I also don't want to break his spirit. So it's like, it's hard. It's like with friends too, because learning things about people in your life, like how much they can take and how much they can't, like Kelty of the three of us can certainly take. And sometimes it's the only way Kelty receives a message, because it's really been the only way that you've been communicated with your whole life is like harsher, uh-huh. a harsher delivery. And then Jack and I are not as good at receiving that. It's like I go on the defense and then Jack crumbles into a million pieces. So it's like someone could have been better with me.
Same. I'm like very good at giving tough love, I feel like, but not at receiving it. And that's probably like a flaw of mine for sure. Like I am out of the group of my friends, like I am the tough love giver.
You
like
are?
I do. Yes. For sure. Oh my gosh. Ask any of my friends, especially when it comes to like relationship advice, because like my biggest pet peeve is like the asshole, right? Where it's like somebody's right. asking for advice and you're giving them the correct advice and then they're not taking it at all. So I'm like, well, you wasted my time and you just basically want to hear yourself speak at this point. But, so I feel like I am very good at giving it, but yeah, I mean, my parents definitely didn't raise me with a lot of tough love, but I feel like I was raised correctly. Like I wasn't coddled too much where I feel like I can't take anything, but I guess I do crumble. So who knows?
Well, also there's something that happens like when you have a sibling.
Yeah.
That somebody treats you like shit. When you're a younger sibling, especially I grew up being treated like shit on the bottom of a shoe. Like for a lot of my childhood, my sister, the only person I wanted to get approval from had absolutely no interest in showing me she loved me. So it's like, I think there's a little bit of that. And I also think that plays into a lot of qualities that are bad about me too. So I'm not saying it was like the best thing on earth to have a sister do that. I mean, I love my sister.
But it definitely hardened you just as like a baseline.
Oh yeah. I became like tough as nails. I became a vicious fighter. And even now, like 36 years into my life, it's only been the last couple that I have had to tamper down that form of communication that I can have when I'm feeling rejected or scared or mad or whatever it is.
It's defensive.
And we all, it's so weird, like how truly those relationships and experiences shape you as how you take on stuff as an adult.
Yeah.
I actually want more tough love to me, but I think I've created people too scared in my life to give it to me.
It's hard to change those things now, right?
Yeah.
It's hard when you've known someone to all of a sudden wake up and be like, and now I will be this kind of friend to you or this kind of person to you.
No, you can't.
Does having extra energy during the holiday season seem impossible? Well, not anymore. My go-to for extra energy this time of the year is Spark from Advocare. It's a great tasting energy drink mix that's sugar-free and powered by 20 vitamins, nutrients, and minerals. You can find your flavor of Spark and discover more products for all your health and wellness solutions at advocare.com/lady. That's advocare.com/lady. With an effective amount of caffeine for an energy boost, B vitamins to support your body's natural ability to make and sustain its own energy, and neuroactive ingredients to keep you focused and alert, Spark is the perfect solution for your everyday energy needs. The most delicious flavor for me is the mandarin orange, because I think it's just like a holiday season type of flavor. They have 10 permanent flavors and then like a bunch of limited edition flavors, but there's something for everyone. You can find your flavor of Spark and discover more products for all your health and wellness solutions at advocare.com/lady. That's advocare.com/lady. Get 15% off your first order at advocare.com/lady today. This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, Lady Gang, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? Well, guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for your car insurance, and then they'll show you the variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. That's something that you'll want to press play on. To start with an easy quote, you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast, and it's one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Lady Gang.
I remember this. This is like a kind of a weird New York story, but so, you know, when I was growing up dancing in Canada, I was like a back row dancer, right? Like I was fine. We had a, you know, the level of dance that came out of Canada was quite high. And so, you know, to do what Becca and I did, especially Becca, but like also to do what we did in New York City, you had to be one of the best. From like every small town comes, and, you know, we sometimes forget that because we have so many friends in New York that did make it, but it's like, right, there were a ton of people that moved to New York City to become dancers and did not make it, that had to turn around. And I'll never forget, I was like a back row dancer. I never won like high platinum award at the dance competitions and stuff. No one really thought I was going to amount to much, but I was always like this tall, thin girl that looked like a showgirl. So when I got my first job on the cruise ship, everyone was like, all these dancers were there, and like I got the job, and everyone was like, wait, what? Her? Like, so strange. And I had so much tough love from my dance teacher, Shelly, growing up. She was such a fucking dick. She was so mean to me. She was like Abby Lee Miller, but like on crack. And never gave me the time of day and never noticed. But here's what happened. A few years later, we were all in New York City again. I had come off cruise ships, and a couple of the girls that I had danced with in that same class that had been the winners, that had won Miss Dance America and like all that shit that you can win, they also came to New York for the summer to like give it a try in New York City. And the minute they waited in line at an audition and didn't get the job, they were like this. Yep. And one by one, I watched every single one of them be hit by a tiny bit of adversity. Mm-hmm. And they could not comprehend that they were not the best, prettiest, most talented. And for me, I was like, well, I'm used to like feasting on scraps here. So it was like, oh, I didn't get that. I guess I'll try again tomorrow. I didn't get that. I guess I'll try again tomorrow, which has served me in my life and is the only reason I have a career, because I am not the best at anything that I've ever done, but I'm like tenacious. You know what I mean? Like I'll go until you give up trying to, like that Disney movie Enchanted. was filming in New York City. I'll never forget. They had all these auditions and it was like first the ballroom scene auditioned and then the tap scene and then this scene. And like, I went every day to audition for one of the scenes and I wouldn't get it. And then I'd show up the next day and I'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. well, maybe I'm going to be in the tap scene. Maybe. And finally they were like, this bitch has been here every day for 2 weeks trying to get a job. Let's just put her in the Central Park scene. You know what
you
I
just,
mean?
It's you like, just wear them down until they say yes.
Yeah. But it's like the girls that didn't have that tough love growing up, the ones that were like, just so beyond, you know, everything had worked out for them. Their teenage years were certainly easier. Their coming of age was certainly easier. But in the long run, it didn't help them follow their dreams. So there is that like, is that balance, you know?
Well, and it's like in relation, in friendships and stuff. Like I think about the times that I've had to give tough love and I've like kind of done a lot of like introspection because friends are coming to, they come to you for all types of advice. And a lot of the time it's when things are not going great. Yeah. And it's like the girl who won't leave the guy who like refuses to commit and, you know, all those things. And I realized that I had a way of communicating before where I was so frustrated, similarly to Jack, where it's like, you've come to me for the same thing over and over and over again. And I realized that the reason they came to me was because I didn't give them really harsh feedback. Because I don't really enjoy, as like surprising as it is, I really don't enjoy making people feel like shit. I don't want to look at you and be like, he does not want to be with you, because that hurts to hear. But I did do that recently with a friend of mine. And I have to say, it resonated the most with her. It's what she needed to hear. It didn't create any weirdness with us because it was like, I don't want to tell you this. This does not make me happy to be telling you this, my opinion. But here it is. You've come to me so many times. Shame on me. I need to just change the way that I'm sending the message.
Yeah.
And I did. And I thought it was going to be way worse than the other times. And it was actually like kind of great. And even though she didn't take the advice, next time she came to me, she was like, I'm not taking your advice. I'm acknowledging this. I get it. I'm f-ing crazy. But you said it. And like, I will, maybe it'll come into play later. But then we can both go away from the situation being like, I didn't hold back. She knows exactly how I feel. And like, done. It's so much easier than that like weird, indirect, you know, passive aggressive feedback.
Well, it's like tough love. It really is just, it's walking the fine line of being honest while still padding it a little bit, because it's like, yeah, if we could say all the things that we actually feel, it, you know, it would be so hurtful sometimes. So it's like, especially when you're talking about like raising your son and stuff, you know, doing it in a way where you're balancing both of those kind of extreme sides, because it does like affect somebody like for the rest of their life, especially when you're doing like, you know, Kelsey, you can like attest to that from your childhood and stuff where, you know, you don't want to like harden somebody so much that they, you know, don't feel anything, but then they have to be able to, not everybody's going to get the participation trophy, like everybody says in life, and from doing nothing. So,
right. And that's sometimes a blessing. So it's like, how do you do that? You know?
No, I was just thinking like, how do you gauge? Like, cause I think that's also a part of it too, where it's like, how do you gauge like when to say something, when to share something, when to give feedback? I think it's like the best thing to do is like, why am I telling this person this thing? Is it to hurt them and make them feel bad? So then keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Or is it because if I tell them this thing and make them aware of this thing, it's going to improve and they take it on and like adjust, it's going to improve the rest of their life, like for the better.
Yeah,
probably. Or what, you know what I mean? It's like that would
situation
be
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if that's your intention, I would be bummed out if somebody that cares about me, like is holding on to something about me that they think would truly benefit, you know, something I care about or whatever. Well,
I think that's why there's love.
Well, there's also, I think that people need to be careful about tough love too, because it can't just be like, well, I'm just like, that's just like who I am. Like I give the tough love. It's like, well, no, that might be an actual issue with your personality. Yeah. Like you can't mistake tough love with being an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what you said. It comes down to intention. So is your intention to help this person out, or is your intention, you are just a dick, you know?
Yeah.
I also think like, if you look at the word tough love, it's like love is there. Like, I don't think you can give tough love to an acquaintance, someone at work. Like, tough love can only really work if you really do love that person. If it's your friend, family member, your, you know, like your lover, like it's like you have to want, this is me saying, I want to be in your life. And this is a really hard thing about being around you or this decision you're making. And this is why it's so hard. And I wish you could just see, I'm giving you another perspective. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I want them to be happy because you love them, you know? So I found this article and I thought this was a cool way to kind of to wrap up. It was like the 7 ways to respond to genuine tough love. Cause we always talk about giving tough love, but then when you get the tough love and you, it's like, it is very difficult. It's obviously like hearing someone say something that's imperfect about you or that's bugging them is like never easy to hear. But these steps, I think, really made it very clear. And so I just wanted to read through them. So 7 ways to respond to genuine tough love. Listen to understand first. You can't hear if you're preparing to defend your position at the same time, which is kind of what you were saying, Becca. Like the minute someone's coming at you, you're already like ready to, you know. Be open-minded, obviously, it's harder than it looks. Look at it from the other person's perspective. So this is something I have really worked on and have really learned because I have a K-type brain. So I look at everything like, of course you would want to wake up in the morning and do this thing at this time and have it written down and wear red. And like, I have like a certain way of like, what is happiness to me? Yeah. But like, that is not how everyone goes out in the world. And it's very difficult. They always say like jump in someone else's shoes, but like it is actually really hard to see it from someone other's perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. I don't know if you guys have ever used this on me. Pause before replying. I'm still working on this. Recognize your feelings. So acknowledge the feedback and then take it on the chin. So I think it's like, you recognize your feelings like, wow, I'm feeling like, ooh, they're probably right. Or I'm feeling so fucking uncomfortable, whatever that is. And then be like, hey, thanks for coming to me. I need to like, just sit with this for a minute. Like you don't have to have an answer right away. Just be like, I need to think about this. Like, I'm really glad you said something. I'm going to think about it, you know, whatever. And then the take it on the chin, like it's, now it's up to you. The ball's in your court. You can choose to fix this thing or you can choose to say, that bitch, she has no idea what she's talking about. I'm going to keep dating my boyfriend. Like that's on you. Mm-hmm. But like you don't want to like go back and start like defending your, like this isn't a defense thing. It's just literally like recognize your feelings, acknowledge the feedback. Hey, thanks. This is great. And then take it on the chin and then make your changes where you see fit.
Amen.
I love that.
Anyway, tough love in a friendship, tough love at work, all very difficult things. It is a weird, weird world to live in because we are friends with the people we work with and we work with friends and it all comes over. But it's the holiday season. And so there's going to be a lot of this like inter-family friendship hard stuff that comes up where someone is acting or doing something that is annoying you. And I think try to get through the holiday season and then maybe regurgitated in January and like get clean in January with the people that you need to, but just that's my tough love, our tough love advice for this holiday season.
Yes.
And don't let this, encourage you to
start giving anything. Tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes the toughest love you can give is also
just to space. Be quiet. Yeah. Yes. Space. Ooh.
Indifference, baby.
Well, guys, all right. I love you, even though it's tough to love you.
Sometimes tough to love you, but I love you.
All right, we're here for a good time.
No, we weren't here for a long time.
We're here for a tough time.
Tough time.
Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingber, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.